RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. And you know what, Josh? After watching the current episode here, I'm just realizing I need to change my screen name now on a number of chat boards I frequent.
Yeah, yeah. What's your screen name looking like right now?
Well, it's Blower Upper Dude 138. So it was started as a joke, but you know, I feel like now, you know, people are going to be looking for me.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Although the people that are looking for you are they're pretty good looking. So
they are good looking, right? If I have the good luck to have like some of those SHIELD agents come and pick me up from that other TV show, that'd be fun.
Well, it is a pretty obvious screen name. You might want to think about that. Yeah,
I will. Yeah, I will definitely reconsider that. Yeah,
maybe you should change it to not Blower Upper Dude.
Oh yeah, I could. Of course. It's very easy too, because I can just add that and be in the front.
Yeah.
So
okay,
we'll do that. Anyway, that's because we're discussing this because Shrapnel is. I don't think it's a great name for a guy that goes around, you know, blowing stuff up. You shouldn't kind of call that attention to yourself with your screen name. Just my opinion, you know. But who knows? We'll find out more about him in our discussion of tonight's episode.
He's crying out for attention. That's the idea. He's got issues.
Well, it's because he sells toy trains all day.
That's true. That's true. He's bored.
So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, this is all of this that we were discussing had to do with Season 2, Episode 10, Blast Radius. And Blast Radius aired on January 15th of 2014, my son's birthday. So,
oh, happy birthday, son.
Oh, yeah. So we stalled watching it by a day, but we still have seen it this week. So it was written by Jake Coburn and Kito Shimizu, and directed by Rob Hardy. So, all right. So let's see. It's time to stand in unity here, okay? Because Sebastian Blood wants the city to come together, you know, so he can be elected mayor. So despite the fact that a disgruntled souvenir shop patriot wants to bomb parts of Starling City, he's going to hold this rally anyway, right? But meanwhile, Oliver's looking everywhere for the skull-masked man, not realizing that, you know, he's been hosting parties for and warning and shaking hands with the guy. So it's so frustrating, it makes you want to yell at your friend/partner. possibly forget that your sister's boyfriend is becoming a super strong, fast healing hero type guy. So, but never fear. Maybe you can distract yourself by remembering the good old days on the island when your friend began turning into a madman from the Mirakuru flowing through his body. So, but nevertheless, it's time to strap yourself in for some explosive action and some motorcycle parkour on this week's Arrow.
Motorcycle parkour. That was awesome.
That was very cool.
It was just at that point my son was watching TV. He's like, what happens when he jumps off his bike and then he does that parkour thing? And I said, you mean like that? And he's like, no. Like, when he jumps onto the guy's car, and where does his bike go? How does he get it back? I'm like, you know, those are all very good questions, but we don't have time for them right now.
Well, here.
We're watching the episode.
I've got an answer that you can use for many, many situations in this.
Oh, okay.
That's what Diggle's for.
Now, I did kind of use that. I said, he just goes, Diggle, can you go pick up my motorcycle for me? Diggle, I got shot. Can you help me out? Diggle, I've been stabbed by a mysterious drug that's clotting my entire body system. Can you help me? Oh, hey, Barry, how are you?
Diggle's like his own personal Siri.
Oh, that would be funny if his phone talked with Diggle's voice.
Now I want that.
Yeah.
I want a Diggle phone.
So let's see. We got a little bit of news here. If you are a... Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think this is a morning show. Am I correct?
Okay.
Kelly and Michael? Okay.
Well, you know, it used to be you know, Regis and Kathy Lee.
Oh, that's
then,
what I thought.
And then
that's
it was Regis and Kelly. Now it's right. Kelly and Michael, and I honestly don't know who either of these people are, but...
I got it. Okay, well, if it's still Kelly, then it's probably Kelly Ripa. But anyway, Stephen Amell will be on Live with Kelly and Michael on Tuesday, January 21st, so...
It's coming up quick.
Yeah, that should be, what is that, Tuesday after our episode airs, or our podcast airs?
Right.
So keep an eye out for that.
And the reason I kind of wanted to throw that out there is because, number one, I love that Stephen Amell is kind of making the rounds for his show, and he's really trying to get people excited about the show and let them know about the show by promoting it, which, you know, I mean, he may be under contract to do, but whatever. But, I mean, he seems really excited about it. You get on his Facebook page, and he tells you what happens on a daily basis. I mean, he tells you when he goes down to the snack bar.
He doesn't tell you what happens. He's like, this was a really exciting day. I can't say anything, but oh my gosh, you guys are going to love episode blah, blah, blah.
He doesn't say specifics about what happens. But
what?
And he also had posted on the Facebook, he asked people what talk show they wanted him to go on. And I think the overwhelming majority said they would like to see him go on Ellen. So, and he said, So, all right, everybody, start letting the Ellen people know. So if you guys want to see him on Ellen or any other talk show, I guess, you know, start putting that out there on whatever social media those people have, I guess.
Let Stephen Amell know that you want to see him on the Jay and Josh show.
I like
also
this
known
idea.
As Green Justice.
And you know, he doesn't even have to get up early for that.
He can totally wear his jammy pants.
Yeah, he doesn't have to fly anywhere. There's no airline fare involved with the production. So
right, we will even cover the cost of the phone call.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There we go. All right. So, Mr. Amell, sir, you're always welcome here.
Always. And there is both of us, just so you know, A, do not have superpowers. B, both have both of our eyes and have not tried to choke you recently. So, you know, I think it can be totally copacetic.
I agree, although his friends tend to do that, so maybe we want to consider that. And I do have to admit to you, I've been kind of messing around with some Mirakuru a little bit lately.
Oh, dude, you know what? That's a gateway.
You know, it's in tea form, and it's just it's just recreational. I just do it when I'm with friends. So,
all right, but if I have to, you know, bolt your feet to the floor to keep you from attacking me, then
just don't shoot me in the eye, okay?
Yeah, that's how it's going to work. So, all right, well, let's get into this episode here, which. I'm not going to say this was better than the last episode. We've been off for, 4 weeks here? 4 or 5 weeks. And it was a good episode, but I did feel a little gypped just due to the fact that they put out stills. The PR department releases some stills prior to each episode, and it's like, it just, you know, never gives anything away, but it shows some characters talking, and it's like, ooh, there's Ollie and Diggle, and ooh, there's Felicity and Diggle, and ooh, you know.
The big one was, look, there's Arrow and Blood shaking hands.
Right. So that was the big picture that I saw, and that was, you know, that's the final scene. So I knew, I didn't know it was coming until they didn't show it until the very end, and they're in the office together, and I'm like, oh, now they're going to shake. But, I mean, I kind of knew that. Not that it ruined the episode for me, because the build-up to that was great, because it's like Oliver is, like you said in the little brief, you know, it's like he's hunting down this skull mask dude. It's like, oh, I'm going to kill him. It's like, oh, hey, you doing? How you doing, Blood? Yeah, can I hold another rally for you? I'm going to save you from getting blown up. And, man, I really wish I could find that skull mask, dude. I was just waiting for him to ask Blood. It's like, have you seen a guy in a skull mask around? And Blood's like, well, no. It's like, just like season one.
What?
Like, there's this dark archer that's killing me. It's like, Tommy, is your dad okay? I'm glad I was able to save his life. It's like, oh, my gosh. Dude. Please stop saving the people you're trying to kill.
So. Oliver's a nice guy, but a bad judge of character. So,
well, yeah, and you know, he's got to work on that. So, but that's cool. Speaking of having to work on things, we are back with Laurel's 12-step program, which seems to involve stealing her father's pain medication. Now, I thought I'd misread the label. I saw something that I thought said Quentin on the label at the beginning, but I'm like, no, that just, I must have, maybe that was the name of the pharmacy or something. And then later when Detective Lance or Officer Lance is saying, yeah, my arm still hurts and I've misplaced my pain medication, I'm like, oh my God.
Jeez, yeah, yeah.
So she's first, she's drinking and now she's popping Percocets or whatever. It's like, So
she's been through some rough times, but she needs some help. You know, we need to be there for her.
I will be a shoulder for you to cry on. And obviously, I think this is going to come back to bite her in the butt. I'm glad, though, to see that, you know, Thea does not appear to continue to have a drug problem. You know, they were toying with that last season just to show her kind of as a rebellious spirit, I guess. And once Thea and her mom kind of made up, that seemed to solve all the problems. Thea's very responsible now. She's doing all sorts of things. But yeah. Laurel just, the whole earthquake, the death of Tommy, it's really rocked her world. And the things that I have to worry about, or not worry, well, not worry is too strong a word, because I'm excited to see how they work this into the character, and I'm not really worried for them, because I'm sure it'll all work out one way or the other. But is, you know, what's going to happen when her dad finds out? And then is, at some point, I believe that she's going to find out that her sister is A, still alive, and B, back in town, and has been under her nose, you know, for, you know, months here.
Yeah.
And her dad's known about it. So, like, does that cure her, or does that throw her off the deep end? I don't, you, what do you think?
I think that's going to come into play. I think Sarah's going to end up maybe doing something about it, you know, maybe having some sort of...
An intervention?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, to a point, yeah. maybe. I don't know. Or... I definitely think it's going to involve Sarah somehow. I'm not sure, but
well, there is rumor about an upcoming episode that features the entire Lance family.
Oh yeah, because Dinah is coming back, right?
She's going to come back.
Alex Kingston, right? Is that who?
Right.
Yeah,
Alex Kingston. Right. Yeah. For one episode, like two or three episodes down the line now, I think.
Oh, so we may be getting close to this. And they've been playing around with Laurel's addiction all season. So I would think that it's kind of coming up closer, especially as obvious as they made it in this episode. I'm sure that's going to be a main storyline here coming up that Oliver's going to have to help with.
Yeah, they're almost to the halfway point on this season. They ordered 23 episodes, and this was episode 10. So, you know, technically we've got halfway through the next episode. I think we are at the midway point. So, it's one of those things, and I think we had talked about in one of the episodes previously, is that, you know, her drug addiction, it's like there, it's not there, it's back.
I think it's been there, but they haven't spotlighted it as much because it wasn't the main topic, the main problem in a particular episode. So, I mean, I think it's always kind of been there. I don't think they've ever really showed that she was getting better so much.
Well, it's definitely escalated because, I mean, at first we knew it was just drinking. She got pulled over for, you know, driving while intoxicated. You're right. It was never one of the main themes of any of the episodes, and it still hasn't been at this point. But they're just continuing to show it to us on a, you know, every other episode sort of deal, just to remind us that it's still there. And obviously it is building to something, so we'll see what's going to happen with that.
Now, are you speculating that it may have something to do with her eventual origin of her being Black Canary, or do you think that
man
is a long way off or not even going to happen?
I'm still not convinced that this, they haven't shown me enough to tell me that that is really what they want to do with the character. I feel there's so much, there's got to be so much turnaround in her character in terms of like training, and you know, knowing that Oliver is the Arrow. I mean, that's doesn't take very long at all. All it has to do is pull his hood back and go, ta-da, it's me. But, you know, they just haven't set up enough about that kind of stuff. You know, with Sarah being back, you know, maybe she'll continue to be the Black Canary for a while. And, you know, I'd, like we've discussed before, there may be some devastating thing that happens that makes Laurel step into those shoes. But I don't know. I think, yeah, I think we're a ways off. I don't think that we're, I don't think it's this season now because of the way they're pacing stuff. That seems like it's going to be too quick.
But I was thinking more along the terms of like, maybe Sarah ends up dying and that kind of starts her on some kind of a path, I guess, to,
well, that would sober her up real quick, I would think.
Yeah, it could. It could.
I mean, it could.
Maybe, or it could make it worse. Right, in real life, it would make it worse, you know? So, I'm not sure, but I think Sarah's going to come into play, and it sounds like maybe Dinah's going to come into play, too. All in all, I have to say, not the storyline that I'm the most interested in. I mean, I've kind of always just kind of pushed that aside, but I did like Laurel in this episode. I like how she was kind of back to her old digging around self and not being the lady that's got to be rescued. And I mean, I did right. like that. So you got to keep that up because whether or not she's going to end up being Black Canary, she still needs to continue to be a strong character. And I saw that in this episode. So you got to keep some of that up.
I do agree. She is not my favorite character on the show. She ranks down very close to the bottom, if not the bottom, but the action that they gave her for this episode with the investigative, the digging, now she's the only one that knows the truth. Really, you know, whatever that is. And obviously we'll go running to Ollie. Hopefully the next time she sees him to say, you know, this guy is not what you think he is. And you put that little doubt into Oliver's mind, he'll start looking at stuff and ta-da, skull masked man is revealed.
Yeah, it would look like as soon as the next episode they may be revealing that to Oliver where he may have to start dealing with it. Didn't it look like that to you from the previews?
I'm trying to remember if I actually watched the preview for this because it's not something I don't choose to watch it immediately after the episode because I don't want to be thinking enough about the other. I'm trying to just remember what I watched, so I'm.
Well, I can't resist. So it seemed to me like they're going to be dealing with that right away. Which I like in this show. I like the fast paced plots, plot revelations. You know, I mean, they just jump right in, but not too fast. I mean, they kind of built that up. By the end of this, after Laurel digging around for an hour, and finally finding the woman that she found, we'll be talking about, I'm sure, here, then it was so dramatic by the end that it was perfect. It was perfect in one episode to get to the next stage of that storyline.
Yeah, yeah, and it's something that obviously it's great because the audience knows exactly what's going on with Blood. We've seen his dual nature. But Oliver, you know, who hated him originally, you know, not with any real reason other than the guy just seems kind of like a jerk, you know, has now become best friends and he's, you know, pulling the Bruce Wayne, method on him. It's like, you know, hey, I'm going to do a fundraiser and, you know, get you some money and stuff like that. And going to help you get elected mayor. You know, which it's. Oh, it's just it's kind of, you know, scream at your TV sort of thing where you've got this character that, you know, he's in cahoots with the bad guy and he doesn't even know it, which is so cool. So
not only that, but he's kind of helping him to gain power.
Right. Well, because he feels like, you know, Blood has got the he's got the right methodology for dealing with the city. Obviously, once he finds out who he is and what he's doing, he may understand that I think Blood wants to do the right thing, but the way he wants to go about doing it is not ethical or right, in the same way that technically Merlin, you know, he had kind of the right idea about what needed to happen to get the city cleaned up, but destroying the glades was not the best way to go about doing it.
No, you don't think so?
No.
You're not on board with that, huh?
No, I am not down with the earthquake machine. So, but I thought the fact that it wasn't just Oliver helping out Blood, it was Arrow helping out Blood. And you see there's that one moment where Arrow bursts in on the Alderman, and Blood's about to pull a gun out because he's startled, but then he realized Arrow's here to, like, help him. And, like, how much that feel? It's like, you fought with this guy already. He doesn't know that it's Oliver, supposedly, because we're assuming that Slade hasn't revealed that information. Right, Slade said he didn't reveal that information. He knows who
the Blood doesn't know who he is.
Right. So, Blood is now, you know, got this vigilante guy on his side, so he must feel like a total big man. You know, he's like, okay, I got the richest guy in town backing me. I got this hero vigilante dude backing me. It's like, oh, it's all in the bag, man.
Well, he's right. I mean, at this point, he is right. He's on the ball, and not only that, but, you know, being saved by the disaster at the end and not having his Unity Rally, not having it bombed, and they caught the bomber at the Unity Rally, and everybody was there. I mean, he took disaster, and he's gonna ride the coattails of all of that success even further into power.
So the only thing that could be his downfall, potentially, is this information that Laurel's gathered.
Yes.
And possibly Cyrus Gold. I'm just wondering if...
I don't know. I kind of think they resolved that in this episode.
Because Cyrus Gold was his mentor? Is that what... In that effect, you mean?
I feel like Blood can... rationalize his relationship with him enough that it sounds him convincing. I mean, he convinced Laurel, at least until the very end, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
So I'm not sure that will necessarily be thing. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure how much, the revelation of the woman in the hospital is going to, affect it for the general public and for the city. Definitely for Laurel, most likely for Oliver, but you know, I mean, how much weight do you put on a woman that's in the mental institution and certifiably insane by the doctors there?
Oh, she's bashing the devil.
That's pretty good. It sounds a lot like her.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
El Diablo.
That was scary. I mean, that was a great, great scene.
I didn't know what was going to happen. My wife was like, oh, is this going to be scary? Oh, what's going to happen? You know, it was suitably creepy.
Yes, yes. Just, I mean, they set it up right. They said, she's not even going to be able to talk to you. And then she does, which was kind of a surprise, and it even shocked Laurel a little bit, I think.
Right.
And then
you never get that close to mental patients where they can, like, reach out and grab you all of a sudden. It's like,
she must not be watching enough movies.
Yeah, exactly. In the movies, this is always what happens.
Yeah, even
don't turn around.
Even I was like, back up, what are you doing? But
I agree with everything you said there. Like, from I was only obviously thinking of it from the standpoint of, like, needing to get the protagonist of the TV series to understand the truth, because then everything will be set right. But you were correct. Like, what's going to turn public attention, or what's going to turn the public tide? When I mentioned Cyrus Gold, though, I didn't know he's dead, right? But
he's dead anyway, isn't he?
Undead.
Okay.
So I feel that when he returns, hint, hint.
Not if, but when.
But when. He gonna not be very happy, because, you know, he was given, you know, this job to do and trusted, and then, you know, you let this guy kill me and you just leave me, you know, I think he's going to be a little cranky, and I think that Oliver may get some assistance, some unforeseen assistance from a certain zombie supervillain known as Grundy.
I had not even considered that, and I like that idea. So let's see now. It was Blood was saying it was the first words that he had said after his tragedy. Could it possibly be the last as well, spoken to Cyrus Gold? Maybe it'll be the last words he ever speaks are to Cyrus Gold as well.
Yeah, interesting.
I don't know, probably not. That'll probably be,
I don't know, I mean,
it takes care of him, but it'd be an interesting way to kind of to symbolize the, you know, and book in that idea. But
sure,
there's so many interesting ties with the characters in this. I love it.
I like the fact that, yeah, there are enough characters that we can talk about all these interesting things, and hey, maybe Deadshot's going to come back and get involved here too, because I would like to see some more of him. I would really like them to resolve that with Diggle.
Like to see more Diggle. I
understand there is a Diggle episode coming up.
Okay, all right, and I'm totally cool with that. I liked the Diggle episode earlier in this season, but I'd kind of like to see more just Diggle interaction on every episode. I mean, he's always there, and he's kind of helping. You know, I'm not the best conflict mediator there. At all. You know, he's just standing in the background with his arms folded or whatever, watching Felicity and Oliver. He's like, "Hey, what's up?"
He's afraid he's going to get an arrow to the throat or slapped or whatever.
And that's one of the things about Diggle is, you know, he's never been afraid of Oliver. And I like that he has always been the one to kind of slap Oliver into realization that he's kind of being stupid, you know, whatever.
Dude,
he's
you're
doing.
Being a dick.
Yeah. I mean, he's said that before. He's come right out and said he wasn't doing things right. So, and I like that aspect of Oliver, and I like that he was kind of Oliver's, you know, he was his conscience in the first season. I don't think he necessarily needs a conscience now. He just, I don't know. I just want to see Diggle have some more action. Definitely don't want him to be underused so that they could sacrifice him at any point.
He's not the hero we want. He's the hero we need. So, yeah, I agree with that. I think, David Ramsey's just, I think he's a real cool player when it comes to his character. It's just, they give him some great lines. He's not afraid to get in the scuffle. I mean, geez, he took a bullet for Felicity this week. I thought that was really cool. I was like, I just saw the spray, and I'm like, oh my God, where did they shoot him?
I know, I couldn't tell either. I almost looked like right in the chest, but
yeah, I didn't know if it was in the chest or what, but it looks like they just kind of winged him in the shoulder or went through, you know, in and out of his shoulder or whatever he said.
Yeah, it was in and out or something, yeah.
Yeah, the rumor currently going is that we're going to get a pretty much a full Diggle episode, and it's going to be a flashback with him.
Oh. Flashback
so we'll
to what?
His time in Afghanistan.
Okay. All right.
So it'll be during the island time in the same way that we have these flashbacks, but it'll be a flashback on Diggle and what he was doing during that time.
Hmm. Okay.
And then there'll be a flash forward and a flash sideways and
this isn't Lost.
Right. And then a flash series. That'd be good. So going back to talking about the superpowers and everything, we now have a superpowered ally on our side with Roy. And I guess I kind of thought it was obvious. Like, I'm trying to remember back now, who knows that Roy was injected? And I guess only Roy knows Roy was injected at this point.
No. Really? Oliver doesn't know?
Oliver wasn't there, right? He knows that Roy was tied down, but does he know that he was injected with Mirakuru? Because he came in after the fact.
I thought he did, but maybe I'm mistaken.
I might have to go back and rewatch that.
Yeah, I am too now. It seems like a long time ago.
Do a recap, exactly. But, you know, so he gets out of there, and he doesn't want to share this information with... You know, obviously, you know, change is going to come. He doesn't want to share this information with Thea. And until they start getting hot and heavy, and you never, first rule about like trying to have sex in a warehouse kind of setting, you know, always make sure the shelving units are attached firmly to the wall and there are no, you know, loose glass materials on top, because that was that could have been really bad. Oh my gosh, look at this giant piece of glass sticking out of my arm. I'll just pull it out.
You don't just thoughts about that. Yeah, I mean, first of all, it was kind of interesting. I know this is stupid, and I can't explain this, but as he was putting those things on those shelves, I'm like, hey, those are some really nice shelves. I'd kind of like to have those in my garage. But and then they fall over. I'm like, yeah, maybe not. But
yeah, exactly.
And then the second thing I noticed is, you know what, a really good way to get some nookie there, to start hitting on somebody, is to act a brooding type, like you need help, until they get frustrated with you, and then call their name out and tell them how important they are to you in your healing. That worked really well. I mean, she turned right around and just started making out with him. So,
well, maybe it's like, you know, if you use this Mirakuru and, you know, you sustain feelings for longer than 4 hours, please consult a physician. I don't know.
Side effects include.
I've never felt this way before.
But, I kind of like the way they're developing Roy. It's interesting to me. I'm not sure. Oh, is he Speedy? Is he Arsenal? Now, I know. Same, right? Same guy.
Right. Just different times of his life.
Right. But, what are they kind of developing? Because did Arsenal – I saw a picture somewhere. And, I'm up on certain eras of Green Arrow, but not all of them, I'm afraid to say.
Sure.
I need to go back and even – I loved looking at them last summer so much that I want to go back and read those again. But did Arsenal at one point have an android-type arm, a mechanical arm?
Yeah, I believe so. And I don't know if it was Arsenal or Red Arrow, like when he was Arsenal or when he was Red Arrow.
But the character.
Same character, just going by a different name.
Right, okay.
As he evolves his character and the writers to change around. Yeah, at some point, his right arm, I want to say it was a Justice League storyline, it got ripped off by somebody, because that happens. And then he had a bionic one put in place.
Huh. Okay, so my point was his kind of stronger, that kind of thing. So with the
oh
arm.
Sure,
so maybe they're kind of going there with that. I don't know. That was kind of a stretch or just a I don't know. But do you think
it's possible?
It seems to me as if this Mirakuru stuff doesn't just go away. I mean, Slade still has it in him. That's where they got it in the first place.
Right,
so,
and it's been 5 years since he – well, four – you know, about 5 years since he was injected, I guess.
Yeah, just about, right? So Roy is super strong, super fast healing. He's a speedy healer. So maybe that's just him. He's going to be big man now.
And what I enjoy – so throughout this episode, he is wearing his red hoodie again. He doesn't actually have the hood up, but he's wearing his red hoodie. And when he saves Moira from the falling light rig at the Unity event, all the lights on it were red. And so when he catches it, he is bathed in red light. So if you watch that scene again, he is lit completely with red lights, his skin and everything, and his clothes turn all red.
Totally deliberate, great symbolic setting, just symbolic.
Nothing is
setup.
Accidental in this show.
No, not at all. Not at all, which makes it amazing. So,
and I got to say, when I heard they were, I keep having to reevaluate the actors they've put on this show. So when I first heard about the show and that it was going to be on CW, I think both our first reactions were like, oh, great, CW, it's going to be like another Smallville kind of thing, because it's, a lot of pretty people. And I saw Stephen Amell, I'm like, oh, geez, nobody that looks like that can be, a good actor. And yet, week after week, he impresses me. And I forget when we're watching the flashbacks that these aren't really flashbacks. They're shooting him at the same time, because they put the stringy hair on him. And Stephen Amell changes from being this very confident, tough-as-nails kind of archer to this guy that is stuck on an island that has yet to learn all this stuff.
Yeah.
And Colton Haynes is doing kind of the same thing. I'm like, okay, they just got this kind of, underwear model dude to, be speedy. And I'm like, eh. But then I see some of the stuff like he's doing in this episode, and I'm like, the dude's, he's got some chops. He's doing some good work. So I'm, continuing to be impressed by the actors they've gotten for the show and the direction they're getting and the writing and just the whole package. I think it's they're doing a great job.
I do think they're doing a good job. Now, as far as the island goes, I would like to start seeing a little bit more of Oliver becoming trained, becoming this master archer that he's destined to become. And
he's got to find someone to train him. I mean, he's so busy running from people that are trying to kill him now.
I know, and I really thought that was the role Shadow was going to play.
So I feel she's going to come back as a Force ghost. No, wait, wrong franchise. I feel that he's learned enough. I think that at some point he is probably going to have to train himself. Like, he is going, he needs to be alone, like,
kind of like a Rocky IV kind of thing, huh?
Yeah. He's going to think that he's killed Slade. Sarah's going to leave to either be dead again or go to the League of Assassins or whatever. And then he needs some alone time on the island. Remember we talked about he's got to go back and rescue that Russian dude from the freighter.
Oh, that's true. But that could come after he was all trained and.
Possibly.
He needs a montage. That's what he needs.
He does need a montage. Just as an off-topic thing, there was somebody who graphed out the different Rocky films and where the different fights appear versus the montages, and put everything in a color coding thing, and you'll see that in the later movies, it was more montages, and less story dialogue points and stuff like that.
I'm shocked.
Should graph something out like that for this show. So, but yeah, definitely there needs to be some more training stuff. But the island right now has been all business because it's just they've been running for it seems like weeks. I mean, I don't know, on island time it's probably been what, a week,
two and a
maybe?
Half hours. I don't.
Yeah, not that it doesn't seem that much, but they got to the submarine, or they got on the boat. They escaped the boat. They escape the bad guys on the island. They get the submarine. They escape the submarine. Now it's down to just the two of them. Well, the three of them, and probably soon to be the two of them, because Slade is Mr. Unstable there. He's, I don't know. The Mirror Crew was really messing with him, and I would assume that's because he didn't get the dose properly. It was very old. It probably was past its expiration date, and as you should never use any sort of medicine after its expiration date, because it changes the way that the potency is and all that sort of stuff.
Well, and I don't mean to criticize their medical skills or anything there, but I didn't really see him measure it out any either. It seemed like he just kind of stuck it in. So I don't know. I'm just saying. But
I'm also sure it was not FDA approved. That's just
no.
Take chances.
I think I've seen some professional baseball players use it, so I just figured it was safe.
Oh,
but,
be all bad.
I try to be timely here, on Green Justice. But but I do have a question now, just a speculation question, because again, I kind of that's always kind of fun. But do you think he left because he wanted to protect his friends, or do you think it was more of a the anger revenge thing that he's really after Dr. Mm-hmm. Ivo, and what do you think?
Wow, actually I think it was probably mostly for the first part, for he felt like he was about to Hulk out, so to speak, and just needed some space. But there is an element of it. I'm sure that he wants to go get Ivo. It'll be interesting to see who it is that takes care of Ivo. Is it Sarah? Is it Slade? Is it Oliver?
Yeah, I don't know much about Ivo now. I need to see more of Ivo. That would be good. Either modern or past. I don't either one's fine.
Well, I'm thinking we won't be able to see him modern, because I think he will be dead by the end of the season. But you never know.
Think so? Maybe
they do keep surprising us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I definitely want to see more modern Slade. But we may not
totally.
see may not see too much more modern Slade until toward the end of this season and then into the next season. Mm-hmm. I think he will be around for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be around for at least another episode. In an interview with Mark Guggenheim, they were talking about, you know, when did you guys decide to do this with Slade? And they said, well, we enjoyed working with Manu Bennett so much last season that we decided to make him a season regular. And as soon as we did that, we knew that we wanted to bring him into the present and put him on the, you know, as a bad guy. And I think they need to finish out the storyline with the League of Assassins for this season, which is not too much of a stretch. I'm based on the title of upcoming episodes, I think that is where they're headed. But they got Malcolm Merlyn, they got Blood, they got Slade to deal with. I mean,
well, he's getting himself a regular rogues gallery there, which
yeah
is I think is great. And
the problem with the writers setting them all up to be around at the same time is like you'd think they'd all be coming at him at the same time, basically.
Well, and what I was going to say is what I always kind of fear when you got that kind of potential slate of villains all at once is you run the risk of overusing them, you know. But in a TV series, you can play that out and you can put them here and there. And you don't have to kill off all the villains. I mean, that's what they do in comic books. I mean, comic books, you can't really kill off all the villains each time, or you'd run out of villains.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but there's just so many. It's like it's great, but from a speculation standpoint, there's so many to choose from. It's like, well, if they don't touch, like this week, we got a little bit of Blood. We haven't seen Merlyn, you know, for a while. We haven't seen Slade at all this episode, so we know now he's been behind the scenes pretty much all season, and they should show us him again just to keep in mind everybody that, you know, this is who's running the show for Blood. So, you know, those two characters are connected, so we'll definitely see them, but you know, the other characters, you know, who knows what's going to happen with them.
Well, I'm okay stretching them out, and then they show up every now and then. I'm okay. I don't know. I think they're doing a good job stringing them along like that. So I don't want to say I don't want. I think they're doing fine. I have no worries about that yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when he's working with the superpowered villains potentially now, or even with Roy, I mean, we hope that he and Roy are going to team up a little bit, but we'll have to see, because remember, Roy was not really happy with him, especially after Oliver shot him in the knee.
I can understand that.
Leg or wherever it was, yeah. So, you know, that Oliver might need to start developing some new arrows to deal with people that have, you know, stronger than normal, you know, strength and things like that. Because the normal arrows that he uses aren't going to cut it. I mean, Barry even made reference to that on one of the episodes when he was on, you know, that what is it? He should change it to like some carbon fiber arrow. It'll be lighter and stronger and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about the quality of his equipment and stuff. I like that they had some, a couple of the trick arrows, which, you know, is a, oh, I don't know what you'd call that. I mean, that's part of the Green Arrow mythos, you know?
Sure.
And I think you have to include that in any Green Arrow version that you come up with. You don't have to make them hokey like they were originally. But they had a couple in this one. They had a I don't know, a grappling hook or a bola arrow, I guess, that he caught that.
Yeah, that was good.
Drug dealer with. I don't know, though. And maybe I'm wrong about the physics of this, but it seems to me like the drug dealer guy was a little bit heavier than Ollie. I don't know that he would have been able to pull him up with his own weight, but maybe just the momentum that he had jumping off of the ledge there. Maybe he would pull
possibly.
Him up.
well, what I like too is that they don't really draw attention to him. You know, it's not like in the comics where, you know, he's got to announce what his arrow is as he's using it, because otherwise you really can't tell, like, one arrow from another. It's like, I will use this sonic whistle arrow to take him down and incapacitate him because it's so loud and blah blah blah. It's like he just does it.
Yeah, that's well, of course, yes.
Or he fires the what was the other one? I guess it's like an explosive one that he shot at the car. It exploded, made a big shower of sparks over the windshield.
Yeah. No. I went back and watched a bunch of different things, and this is not one that. But at the end there, when he was catching the shrapnel, right? Did he fire an explosive arrow at the? I don't know, the tent, the pavilion, wherever they were, was to get people to scatter, or was that shrapnel setting off something?
Shrapnel threw something, and I want to say that it was, you know, some sort of explosive device, and it looked like Oliver just fired a normal arrow to basically take out the bomb device midair. That was my take on that sequence.
All right. And that, like I said, that was one I didn't go back and look. I did go back and try to look at that bola arrow a couple times because I wanted to see what it looked like before he shot it. And it kept going by so fast, I never really did get a good image of it. But but it worked for me. And I could tell what he was doing. And I could tell the way the guy reacted when he was shot. I could kind of – didn't his feet kind of come together like that. So that was pretty cool. And I like stuff like that because, like I said, it's part of the Green Arrow mythos, and I want to see stuff like that. Plus, he's becoming this hero. It says right in the introduction where he can't be, he can't be the killer he once was. So, so keep it up, I like those trick arrows. No need for a boxing glove arrow. You can avoid that one. Although, a little nod to that every now and then.
I think that'd be great. His killings are down 50% according to a. It was like Comic Buyer's Guide or Newsarama or somebody like that made a infographic, and it showed all the number of kills that he had made last season versus this season, and he's still the biggest killer on the show, followed by Deathstroke, and third place is, you want to take a guess as to who has killed the third most number of people on the series?
The entire series?
On the entire series.
Well, I'd probably have to say Merlin.
Huntress.
Oh, okay. I could see that. Just that
because
one
she took
time,
out,
taking out all those bodyguards, I guess, huh?
Yep. I would assume that's what they were counting for that. So
okay.
That was a pretty cool little infographic. No. It's got a little...
And good for Oliver. Not discounting that or anything, but if you put that into a real-life situation, you tell somebody, hey, you know what? Good job. Your killings are down 50%. Nice work.
Yay.
Good for you. The therapy's working. So
he's still killing people, but all right, he's working on it.
Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, this was kind of a different episode than we've been seeing over the past few weeks. It kind of went back to the villain of the week sort of style, I guess, of episode.
Uh huh.
But it also, I mean, when I heard what they were doing for this in an interview, Mark Guggenheim called this an evergreen episode.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what that meant at first.
Okay, do you understand it now? You want to explain that to the peeps?
Okay, well, you kind of told me your take, and that made sense to me. So, an evergreen episode is an episode that people can kind of jump on board and not have to know all of the backstory. So you can kind of jump on there and get into the series and enjoy it. Which makes sense, as evergreen, I suppose, because you're new to the show. So, So what do you think? And now at the top of the episode, you said, did you say you were disappointed or you just didn't like it as much as the last episode?
I didn't like it as much as the last episode. No, I definitely was not disappointed. I thought it did a really good job. It really delineated, the four storylines that we had going on this. So it was a very distinct, Oliver, and Blood storyline, Thea and Roy storyline, Laurel doing her investigation storyline, and then the island stuff. It definitely wasn't disappointing, but it was just, it was a little slower. It was a breath from the previous ones where they just kept amping. To me, it felt like they were amping up, and maybe it's just that we've been off for, 4 weeks and everything's kind of settled down now or something like that.
Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, I think that's exactly what they did. It was a breath, and I didn't expect it coming back from such a, I guess we had, I don't know. I didn't expect it coming back from everything that we had seen before. But I think it's okay.
I don't think it's a problem at all.
Well, no, but the reason why I think it's okay to have this episode here where they do is because we know that their finales, whether they're mid-season finales or ending of the season finales, they get big and they build up to that big. I think it's good to have this slow episode right here so they can slowly start building up and ramping up each episode until we get to the finale. And there probably will be at least one more of these little breather episodes, maybe around March, maybe, somewhere around there.
I would agree. Yeah, I think they're going to build up a little bit, and then we may have another break in the schedule here before the end of the season, so I think they'll do a little build-up episode, take the break, and then come back and take another little breath, and then kick it on out till the end of the season. So
yeah, so that's okay. So because I like that it sort of gets more dramatic and you get more surprises that you weren't really expecting, which I guess is what a surprise is. But you know what I'm saying. So I don't want every episode to be huge. I don't want every episode to be epic because it makes the last one less epic.
Right. No, that's a good point.
Another thing I thought I would kind of point out, I guess, here was that they are still staying along with that real-time timeline where we were off for, 5 weeks or whatever. He has been looking for this Skull Mask character for 5 weeks, and we don't know exactly what he's been doing in those 5 weeks because it really has been like the same time that we've been experiencing.
Yeah.
So they're still staying up with that.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, the only time they've really done away with that, I think, was on the episode where he was captured in Laurel's office, and then it was a definite cliffhanger. We came back to that exact same point the following episode. But then I think that it skipped ahead a little bit. So, I appreciate that because, I mean, it feels like – it's like you don't have to know what just happened. It's been 5 weeks since the last thing happened. Great, because that's when the last time I watched your show was 5 weeks ago. So that really works really nicely for us. Thank you, Mr. Producer and Mr. Writer.
Well, and it's more realistic. You know, I mean, he's not going to – everything doesn't happen once a week. You know, I mean, in your life you don't have dramatic happenings, you know.
Jack Bauer.
Oh, yeah. Well, every week. That happens every hour, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean – man, that guy, he needs to get a new job.
Sounds like he's getting one.
Yeah, that's from what I hear. That's true. So, all right. Well, let's talk about some of the comic references from this episode. There were a few that I found, and it looks like a couple that you found as well. The bomber in this episode is codenamed Shrapnel. Shrapnel is a character in the comic books, except he's a big monster-looking dude that can fire the metal plates and stuff from his body as bits of shrapnel. That's not really what the character on our show does, but he's, same kind of thing. It's a guy who sets off explosives that have shrapnel in them and, you know, can kill a number of people. And they didn't kill him at the end of the episode. They just captured him. So there is always a chance for a Firefly reunion, which I was kind of looking forward to. He was played by Sean Marr, who played Simon Tam on Firefly. And then, of course, Summer Glau, who is Oliver's partner on the show now in Queen Consolidated, was Simon's sister, River Tam, on Firefly. So I was kind of hoping the two of them would get a chance to be on screen for a few seconds together.
And so they might. Cool. Hey, real quick, since you're speaking about shrapnel, one scene that I thought was really cool, maybe not the most realistic in the world, but was where he was stuck in the souvenir shop with the lasers.
I did want to mention that. Yeah.
And the laser was blocked by the tip of his arrow.
Right.
That was cool. That was very cool.
I'm like, how is he going to get out of this? And the fact that he moves forward so the laser goes across the shaft until it gets to his bow and uses his bow to block it, and then he could fire his arrow. And, of course, luckily, Felicity was able to bring up the blueprints and show that there was weak electrical lines in the building or whatever. So
good thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a good thing.
Good thing that wasn't built in the stable 80s when they built buildings. Then he would have had to deal with, you know, like asbestos and things like that. So.
Oh, sure, of course. Then we've got Brother Blood, who we found out, who told Laurel that he was an orphan and that his parents were killed, right? That is right. That's what he had said.
Well, that his father was killed.
That his father was killed.
And his mother ran, never saw her again.
Right. And we find out that he's giving money to his aunt, who's committed in this sanitarium. But we find out it's not really his aunt. That's his mother. And Sebastian killed his father. Well, the character of Brother Blood in the comic books, when he was introduced in the Teen Titans, he was actually the ninth Brother Blood. This is a group of characters that pass the title of Brother Blood down from father to son, and it is the son's responsibility to kill the father at some point and take over the mantle of being Brother Blood. So very much like what we've seen in the comics there. And does not make Sebastian a nicer person. His killings are up, I would say, this season.
Yeah, and they continue to go up.
Yes, yes. They are climbing without any idea of stopping anytime soon. So then there was a really interesting reference here that I did not catch because I do not read Green Lantern books, so I am unfamiliar, and especially all this newfangled Green Lantern stuff with the Red Lanterns and the Orange Lanterns and the Yellow Lanterns, and I don't understand any of that stuff, but Sebastian's aunt/mom was committed to a facility called Saint Walker's. The character Saint Walker is a Blue Lantern from the Green Lantern series and was the founding member of the Blue Lantern Corps. So, and that's about all I can tell you about that person. But anyway, it's a Green Lantern homage, and I believe Greg Berlanti and Mark Guggenheim were involved with the Green Lantern movie. So there are ties to other green characters here, so that was kind of interesting. And then Felicity points out that the news group that or the forum that Shrapnel frequents is called The Movement. The Movement is a current DC Comics series about superpowered folk in more of a natural setting, not superhero kind of things, but like people, ordinary people that like get superpowers. I think more like heroes or something like that. I'm also not familiar with that series, not reading that one. And then you picked up on a couple other interesting ones here that I completely must either spaced on or missed.
Well, one of them was I think they've actually done this before, but when they were on the roof and the bomb went off, when he was talking to Oliver on the roof, uh-huh. and the bomb went off, he got on his walkie-talkie and he called. Officer Lance. Excuse me. So yeah. He called for DC 52.
Right.
Which I don't know if that's his unit number.
Yeah, that's
like
his call sign that he's. Yeah, he used that one time before. So that's
yeah.
Pretty cool.
So which is we're assuming, of course, is a reference to the new 52 from DC Comics, you know.
Right. Oh, and 52 is also the TV station they watch all the time. It's Channel 52.
Oh, is it? Jeez, I didn't even
Yeah, the little, it's, you know, RNN or whatever news station it is, but it's always got the 52 down at the bottom.
Oh, my God. They throw so many things like that. Every street sign in Starling City is a reference to comics. It's awesome. And then, okay, so you want to get really obscure.
Okay, yeah, hit me with this one because I did not catch this one, and this blew my mind.
Okay, so when Laurel's kind of snooping around, I like, by the way, this tells you how many drugs Laurel's on right here, but she has just heard this tragic story of of Blood and how he grew up, and she is devastated that she asked. I'm like, so sorry, I can't believe I just asked. You know, it's like when you say you see somebody you hadn't seen in a long time, and you're like, hey, how's your mom? Oh, she's no longer living. Oh, I'm sorry. So she was. You could see the tears in her eyes, and he goes out and leaves her there, and she's like, oh, there's litter on the desk. I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah.
So I guess it really wasn't as tragic to her as she was leading on. But okay, so anyway, so she looks at the bill that he was paying, and this is how she ends up finding Blood's mother. And it says that the zip code for Starling City is 98114. Okay,
yeah.
So in the real world, the zip code for Seattle, Washington is 98114, and that is Green Arrow's home during some of the Green Arrow comics. And I think currently now, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Now, okay, you're like saying, oh, okay, come on, please. But look, somebody had to type up that letter. And
right.
Somebody had to come up with an address, and somebody put a zip code on there. That was deliberate. That was a nod to Seattle. So
that's great. I mean, and whether that was just the prop guy deciding that he wanted to do that, or it was a directive from the director or the producer or somebody, they're thinking about this kind of stuff, and I love it. It's awesome. It just gives us Easter egg. I mean, I freeze the screen when they show computer screens because it's like, oh, I wonder if it says anything cool in there. There's like a hidden Easter egg about this guy's name. Or when Felicity was watching the van chase and Oliver on the motorcycle, it just said Arrow on his little name tag on her screen, but it was a green tag that's
yeah,
an Arrow.
I noticed that too. The other guys, the bad guys, was like orange or red or something, and
right.
his was green, and it said Arrow. I loved it.
And for a second, I thought it said Green Arrow, just because I think I was seeing the color green and associating that with the term Arrow. So
well, and what it feels like to me now, because they do this so much. I mean, I bet it's just a challenge to see what they can get in each week. And not be like super obvious with it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
And they don't. They aren't super obvious with it. So
challenge accepted.
So I love it. That's one of my favorite parts now of watching the show, is trying to find all these little hidden Easter eggs.
Isn't it great?
It is.
And it's like the more you know about the universe and stuff like that, the more things pop out at you and you go, that's ridiculous. That's a stupid coincidence. There are no coincidences on this show. Everything is purposeful, which is, I think, is great, because it means that the people are paying that much attention that are creating it, that they enjoy their job. It's like if you put enough care into, you know, finely handcrafting this episode by putting these kind of things in there, you know, that means that you really enjoy your work and you want to take pride in it. So, wow. A lot of stuff that we talked about here on this week's episode of Explosives. No, I'm sorry. Arrow. That was the name of the episode or the name of the show. Explosive Arrows on Blast Radius. So, anyway, I think that's plenty of things that we talked about here on this week's episode of Green Justice.
And if you enjoyed this episode of Green Justice, leave us some feedback on iTunes. We want to see some of that good feedback. So thank you to all of those people that have done that. Also, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com. We've got a few emails lately, and we love hearing from you. You can also get a hold of us on Twitter at greenjusticepod is our Twitter handle, or on Facebook at facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And you can also check out the other podcast that Josh and I do called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is also available on randomchatter.com. And Random Chatter, the flagship show of randomchatter.com, should be coming back later this January. So keep your ears peeled for Eric, Lou, and myself to come back and talk about all things random. And, of course, if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed the city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.